Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. I think I've kind of exhausted my guest before we even started recording. He is asking me about the caffeine content of my drink over here. I promise this is decaf coffee. I do have a lightly caffeinated tea here on the side. I try to drink a lot as I talk. But I'm freaking psyched. Daniel, I just love your business. Let me introduce my guest. His name is Daniel Ramsey. He is the founder of My Outdesk. They offer virtual assistants for real estate. Now, look, the virtual assistant business I've seen forever. I must have interviewed a bunch of companies who do virtual assistants. We're not talking about a guy who, frankly, created a brand new business. He was one of the originals, one of the early people online to do this. But regardless, he found a freaking niche. He's built up this business. The revenue is strong. The customer base is strong. I'm just amazed by the model. And I'm amazed by how well he's doing. And I'm amazed that he is doing this, not the only one in the business. It's not a heavily software-based business. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that he's discovered, frankly, have been around for decades. But that's what's allowing him to build up this phenomenal business. So we're going to find out about how Daniel Ramsey created his company, My Outdesk. I'm going to repeat Daniel Ramsey a bunch of times because, Daniel, you've got the worst search engine optimization on your name. Every time I search for Daniel Ramsey, I came up with Dave Ramsey. So I figured I could come up with, like, if this interview has Daniel Ramsey a few times in it, I could be the number one search result for your name.
Totally could. Yeah. Yeah.
This interview is sponsored by a company that I asked Daniel, can I do an ad for them? And he goes, no kidding. No, I actually use them. And I asked him to please save it for the interview. We'll ask him about how he and now I are using Ring Central for our virtual phones. But first, Daniel, it's good to have you here. Seriously.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
What's the revenue that you guys are doing with this business?
This year will be above 20 million bucks.
Wowee. And then net margins, are they over 15% in your business?
They range. I mean, it just depends how much I'm spending, but we range from anywhere from 10 to 20. It really depends if we're growing. We've had some stupid years of 270% growth. And in those years, we had low margins.
And where do you spend your money when you're growing?
You know, sales and marketing, really. I mean, that's where you're supposed to spend it. And we put a lot of systems in place. So we built our own technology to kind of house all of our virtual assistants. And we have 1,200 folks working with clients right now, and all of them log on using a computer. So in that computer world, you know, they have to log into a server. We check where they're working and what they're doing and all that kind of stuff. So we spent a lot of money developing that and, you know, just normal business stuff.
I have a photo of you on your honeymoon. Yeah. What are you? You brought your laptop to your honeymoon?
Yeah. So, Andrew, your introduction was perfect. You missed one thing, though.
What?
We actually built this industry. So I know this is going to be crazy, but back in 2007, when I hired my first virtual assistant in the real estate space, nobody was using virtual assistant. In fact, Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week wasn't even out when it was. When it came out, dude, our business exploded because nobody was really doing it at a high level. So we were pioneers, and it's been a lot of fun to screw that up and then fix it and then screw it up again. And then
I want to find out about the screw ups in addition to the fixing. I do remember that when his book came out, he had a couple of suggestions for companies to use. Do you remember Ask Sunday, I think, was one of them?
No, I think it's Friday. Ask Friday.
Ask Friday, yeah. I used one of the companies they recommended, and it just did not go well. I think the industry was definitely in its infancy at the time. Okay, right. So coming back to this honeymoon picture, why did you bring your laptop on your honeymoon?
Because I'm crazy. I'm an entrepreneur. And you knew that when you asked.
Of course. I got notes here. I'm teeing up questions, dude.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But here's the thing. If you're listening right now and you're either want to be an entrepreneur or you are an entrepreneur and you're trying to scale a business, the reality is it's freaking hard. You know, weekends, evenings, you think about it when you wake up first thing, you think about it at night, you have employee issues, you have scale issues, you have technology issues.
So what was the business you were working on your honeymoon?
Well, at that time, My Outdesk, you know, was 2 years old. I had a real estate investment company and a real estate brokerage. So okay. We sold houses for banks and short sales back in 2000 and, 7. Okay. I'm a real estate broker. So I've sold a lot of real estate in my time and, hired virtual assistants. And my wife, thank goodness, cross my fingers, we're still going strong. 10 years in, we're still married, got 2 beautiful kids. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she just kind of have adjusted to the fact that I'm an entrepreneur.
You're just going to work. All right, so, let me take it a little bit slower and get to know you. You're a guy who was working for Barclays for a while there, right?
Yeah. So I went to school and got a degree in finance and then realized that I hated finance.
And then you still got a job in finance.
Well, yeah. And in fact, I loved the business classes, but I didn't like the, accounting, and I didn't like finance. And so I went to work for a bank thinking, well, maybe I could sell stuff, or maybe they'd give me a big account, or maybe I could build, some sort of, cause I like people.
I like talking.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I got in there and then they gave me, I managed people's money, which was dumb because it was like, put your head down and work for 3 years straight. And I wanted out bad. So I was I'm that serial entrepreneur who I would buy the magazines and look for businesses to buy and look at the newspaper and call brokers and like, hey, what kind of a business do you have to sell right now? I even toured a pizza place and then I was going to make an offer and the place burnt up. Like literally burnt up.
Which might be for the best, because instead what happened was you got, was it a house that you got for yourself?
Yeah. So I was 20, I think I was 23 or 24, and I decided I was going to buy a house because I was renting and I didn't really like my roommate. And I was like, okay, it's time to move out. Right. And I was like, well, why not buy a house? And real estate at that time in the 2000s was just freaking taking off. You buy a house and 2 years later, it's double. Right. And I live in California, so it was even more than double. It was like, this is crazy. So I thought, I have to buy a house, being a good finance guy, right? And so I used a real estate guy, and he calls me up one day and says, hey, what's your home address? I'm like, why? And he says, I'm going to snail mail, basically, the keys to your new home, but don't use them until I tell you it's okay. And so I went to the closing table and I looked at the final HUD. And of course he made like 6-7 grand and the mortgage person made 4-5 grand. And I thought, I can do their job. I could do this job. And that's how I became an entrepreneur.
And that's when you got into real estate.
Yeah.
And at some point you discovered virtual assistants. What led you to discover virtual assistants for yourself?
Yeah, so my brother was in San Diego and I was in Sacramento and we were collaborating, right? Because he was a real estate guy down there. I was a real estate guy up here. And he's like, dude, I found this gal that is great at design. And I was like, I need a business card. I need a new business card because I was rebranding and trying to grow a different segment of our real estate. And he's like, oh, she can help. And so I met her on Skype. You remember Skype?
Yeah.
Everything's before Zoom now. Yeah, exactly. Before Microsoft took them over. So I Skyped with her and she's like, I can design you a business card. And I'd already paid a US company $1,000 to do this marketing, like a local firm, had a good reputation, all that. And she was like, I can do it. And in a couple hours, she came back with a couple designs and it was actually better than the company that I'd spent $1,000 on.
And so then how did that lead you to hire her to do more?
No,
what else?
I was like, hey, do you have any friends? I'm like, cause I needed design work, but I needed administrative work. I needed somebody to manage my calendar. I had this whole inventory. I was selling a couple hundred homes a month. So
Whoa, wait, a couple of hundred homes a month?
Yeah. Any one time I'd have 100 listings.
Oh, you were listing. Got it. That's significant, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the average agent sells 1 or 2, right?
So how'd you get to that level?
I'm crazy, man.
What'd you do? What would be specific, dude? Come on. I want to make this into a real estate show.
No, I it shouldn't be, but
it shouldn't. But what did you do? Teach me something.
Yeah. So business isn't too complicated. Everybody thinks, I can't tell you how many times. In fact, I was just talking to a guy who he's in Memphis and I was helping him in his business. He was doing a business consultation with one of our guys here who's in our office. And he pulled me in for 5 or 10 minutes and I was trying to help him. Right. And he's like, well, we're really good at this, but I don't know anybody else in the country that like does what I do. And you know, there's 1.7 million realtors, and here's one guy who thinks he's special. And you know, no offense, if anybody's listening right now, your business is your little snowflake. But
okay,
here's the thing that I would tell you: I modeled the biggest agent I could find, and it was that guy in San Diego. And then I found a guy in San Francisco who even did, you know, these guys were doing 300, 400, 500 deals a month.
You modeled, this person is Christian Peter, am I right?
Yeah.
And okay, but so be specific. What's one or two things that helped you grow because
I'm telling
you learned from him?
I'm telling you right now.
I'm ready to jump through the camera. Yes, please.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and here's the thing. The secret is, so I have a friend who has a property management company and he thinks he's special. And I'm like, no, you're not. There's Long and Foster in the Pacific Northwest. And if you go and look at that company, they manage 2,000 rentals in their small little market. So the thing that I did is I just found somebody who was doing it at a really high level. And then I flew to his office and I picked his brain. And then I met his manager. And then I was like, what system are you using? At that time, they were using this thing called Paza REO, which was an REO processing thing. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just buy Taza. So I bought Taza REO. Then I hired somebody who was just like his office manager. Then I said, hey, who are your top 20 clients? And he's like, and he gave me the list of the people who were giving him the most business. So I literally found the guy who was doing it at the highest level and then turned him into a mentor.
And so wait, by having this software, what were you able to do? By
the process was like, I didn't have to do the paperwork myself. It was in a system. So back then in 2003 and four, back then everybody was kind of doing still with paper and they weren't putting it into any kind of system. So we literally, when somebody sends an offer in this platform, it was an electronic offer and it went into a system. Well, it allowed us to take all of our offers electronically, export it to Excel, and then I could choose the best one like overnight, right? And you know, just so system, process, model the best, and then figure out how they drove business. And that's what we just started driving business just like the biggest.
What, one more thing, where did you get your clients when you started following him?
Yeah, so what he did, which as a real estate person, I had no concept of doing, he would fly around. So we went to Philadelphia and met a bank, and then we went to Dallas and met another bank. And then we went to Boston and literally just took branded materials, went in, said, hi, my name is Daniel. I'm in Sacramento. I'm in San Francisco, and I'm in Redding, California. Do you need any help selling any of your bank owned properties?
Got it. And because you're going to banks, you get lots of properties at once instead of trying to wait for a family of four to say yes to you. Got it.
Exactly.
Got it. And so you're doing all this and suddenly you found a woman who was doing your logo through your brother. You said, yep. Do you have any friends? And she said, I could do it.
Well, she actually said she had a friend from church who needed a job because I didn't really need a marketing person. And my brother was kind of already kind of using her on a regular basis. And so I hired a gal named Julie, literally like 13, 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then Julie found a friend and then another friend. And then we put an ad out. And then all of a sudden we had a business.
A team of virtual assistants in the US at the time, just for you.
No, a team of virtual assistants in the Philippines.
At what point did you get to the Philippines? Because my understanding was in the beginning it was not the Philippines.
No, it totally was. Yeah, Julie, Lily, the first two people we ever hired, they were in the Philippines.
Oh, wow. Got it. And so you were ahead of your time.
Right. And that's the thing. There was a lot of US-based virtual assistant companies at that time, but nobody was really going overseas, mostly because the internet connection and the video conferencing technology at that time was really limited.
Right.
But because I had like systems in place and checklists and like step by step how to do what to do, it was easy to give somebody that job.
And you already had systems in place because you were modeling somebody who was organized. Got it.
Yep.
Okay. Let me close this part of the conversation by asking a follow-up question on something you said before. You said business is easy. And I interrupted because I wanted to get some specifics about how you do it. What do you mean by business is easy? It's easy if you do what?
Well, what's interesting is everybody believes, like in my business, there's some really large outsourcers who have been around since the 80s and 90s. So most people are like trying to invent the way or figure it out. Like, I'm going to make a marketing, you know, I'm going to create a marketing thing. I'm going to build a website or whatever. But the reality is there's millions of people who've already been there, done that. And so my advice is just, business is easy. Figure out who's your industry, what metrics you need to follow, and then do it just like the biggest companies out there, but do it economically, meaning don't go out and buy your way to success. Just work your way to success. And that's a tenet that most people just, you know, kind of avoid.
It was kind of interesting. One of the interviews that I did this year that really left a mark on me was in Estonia. I flew there to interview entrepreneurs and I met this guy who runs Bolt, which competes with Uber. And I said, how are you competing with Uber? They've got more money than you. He said, exactly. I model part of what they do, but I do it much cheaper. I said, same as I keep hounding you, be specific. I did. And he said, okay, South Africa. We got to South Africa because we and Uber went in at roughly at the same time. They sent, I think it was hundreds of people, but at least dozens. My memory is not clear on exactly how many. I said, how many did you send? He said, none. We found one person. We sent him a PowerPoint. We said, here's our structure. Here's how we work. And we kept it cheaper. And one of the things now that I've been traveling that I noticed is in South Africa, it was cheaper to get Bolt. Yeah. Their model is we're not going to outspend them. We're going to go so cheap that more drivers will come to us because we can get them more work. More people will come to us because we'll go cheaper, because we're cheaper than Uber. And if we don't have name recognition, once you get a cheaper price than Uber, you're going to go tell your friends that we're cheap. Anyway, I've been seeing this now as I'm traveling and it's phenomenal. And that's essentially what you're saying, Daniel. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's a great example. I'm Uber to this Bolt. But you know, back when cars started, there was something like 350 car companies, right?
Okay.
And then Ford won and GM and Chrysler, right? And so the idea is that you have to be really smart with how you spend your money. Like that guy, that it's a perfect example. You know, in the beginning, we didn't spend money unless there was a clear path to making it. Right.
Okay.
And it was almost like guaranteed. Like somebody said, come to this conference. And we said, no, why should we come to that conference? And they're like, well, we're going to give you a speaking opportunity. Okay, cool. Who's in the audience? And they're like, we don't know. And say, we can't come. You know, like we can't. And then, but when somebody says, well, we have this person and this person and this person, and our average is X, Y, and Z, we go, okay, that's a fit for us. So we're really specific. And you'll laugh at this story. 2 years ago, because we're in the real estate world, but we've branched out in a couple different verticals. So 2 years ago, I told this other vendor in our space, like, he's like, so what conferences are you doing? I said, we're just not going to do any more conferences. We're just not. And he's like, what? Because all of their business is driven on conferences. But I wanted to cut us off them because it's expensive to fly four guys. It's expensive for hotels. It's expensive to speak and buy food and pay overtime and all the things that you have to do to go to a conference. So I wanted our business to be conference free for 2 years and see what happens, you know, and absolutely nothing changed.
You didn't lose sales. You didn't. No. All right. Let me talk about my first sponsor, speaking of sales, and then come back. Actually, I only have one sponsor for today. I'm trying to go from two sponsors to one to see how we like it. So I've moved one of the others out.
Nice.
It's RingCentral. What do you know? What are you doing with RingCentral?
Well, actually, they wrote a blog post about us a long time ago, and it comes up in a top of SEO results, which I love, number one. And because they wrote that and we did this collaboration, we just started recommending them to our clients. And then we started using them for our business. And because we're a completely dispersed team, meaning we have 15 folks here in our Sacramento headquarters, like in our leadership and sales team and marketing team are here, but everyone else of our 1,200 folks are in the Philippines and they all work remotely. We needed a way for us to be able to chat with them, do video conferences, and to make calls. So RingCentral was a good...
Because they do have a chat app within it, right? So you can talk to other people on your team.
Right.
They do have... what was it? It was chat. They do have conference software. I think they actually use Zoom, frankly.
I think they do too.
They do. Yeah. So frankly, what I ended up doing was I said, why am I paying for Zoom if I get the exact Zoom experience through them?
Right.
So I get that with it. And then you actually give your virtual assistants a phone number too?
Yeah. So, you know, because we have people, and this is good for the audience, we have people that are prospecting all day long, sending text messages, emails, and we use Salesforce. So Zoom or RingCentral and Salesforce link up. So you can do a click to dial on
all of them. Yeah, yeah. They gave me a whole link to their app marketplace. I did training on them in preparation for this ad. They wanted to make sure that I saw how much they had. And yeah, they connect with all these different apps, including Salesforce. So one click, you just start dialing. And then there's Zapier connection for things that they don't explicitly set up is in there. And the benefit is, we for a long time were saying to people on our team, just use your cell phone and call. You have unlimited minutes anyway. It doesn't matter. Why are you shaking your head? Why is that a bad idea?
Because I lead our sales and marketing effort. And when I have a lead in Salesforce, I want to know that, number one, the lead was called right away. Like, it registered. And then speed to lead is the number one indicator of results in a sales organization. And 100%, we are a sales organization. We don't manufacture anything. We don't have a product to sell. Our business is a service-based business. So for us, like, if we can't attach an activity to a lead record, then it just didn't happen.
And they do give you all kinds of analytics. I don't know if you use your own analytics or theirs, but they give you those types of analytics. The thing that I recognized was people started texting for even me. They start texting me on an outrageous level lately. And the reason is, you know, if you and I are going to talk and you're coming to San Francisco, it's weird for me to say, here's my email address. Just like email me and we'll find a time to get together for a drink. Say, Daniel, here's my cell phone number. Text me. The problem is I do this a bunch and it's only me responding to text messages. And if I can't respond to a text message because I'm overseas or because I'm overwhelmed or something, there's no assistant who can check my messages. But with Ring Central, she can see my text messages and she could respond to them. She can also start sending text messages to our customers, even if it's just, hey, it's Andrea. I'm about to call you about the issue you had with your credit card. Right? A little text before a call, super helpful. Voicemail messages that are easy to see and easy to respond to. A bunch of people all jumping on a single phone number. So if there's a call that comes into me and I'm not here, it could go to Andrea, let her take it and so on. Yeah. And then of course I get my own private number with them. So if someone just wants to dial me, they could do that. There's so many other features that I hadn't gotten into. Like, I didn't even get into fax, which for most people won't matter. But if it does, they've got a bunch of these features in there. So all I'm going to say is they're a brand new sponsor. They are offering something incredible. They are saying, go sign up. The price starts as low as $19.99. I'm looking at my notes here to make sure that I get this right, because I really want them to be happy with this ad run. And you will not have to pay anything until next year. So all you have to do is go to ringcentral.com/mixergy. That is ringcentral.com/mixergy. ringcentral.com/mixergy. I'm now 2 for 2. I've run 2 ads for them with 2 amazing entrepreneurs, and they've each said, we use them.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do see that the bigger the business is, the more likely they are to be with Ring Central. So I see now you were getting it for yourself. Then you were, speaking of conferences, at a conference, and a friend said to you what?
We were at a First American conference and they were selling virtual assistants. And it was the first time First American had ever offered that service out. Because
what is First American?
First American's like a title company for real estate folks. Their title.
And they had their own virtual assistants?
They have their own
service. Okay.
Yeah. And in fact, they had them in India and I think the Philippines. So they're selling them for $30,000 a year. And my buddy says, are you going to get some? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to get some, because quite frankly, I have some folks and we pay $20,000 a year. And he's like, really? And he's like, I'm like, why do you care? He goes, 'cause I need 5 like right now. And, I was like, I think I can do that, but I'm going to have to charge you something, 'cause it's a pain in the butt.
Right.
And literally he was our first client April 8th of 2008.
And so you suddenly had 5 virtual assistants that were on your staff.
Yes.
Or why didn't you become, like a hiring platform? Why did you decide they're going to be on my staff, I'll manage them, instead of saying to your friend, pay me a little bit of money and I'll recruiting fee and I'll go recruit them for you?
It's a good question. You know what? It's part of the culture. We found that with that, because there's a bunch of platforms, like Upwork's a great example of a platform, Fiverr, Upwork, Odesk, there's a ton out there. But what we found with them is that the people and the results were mixed, meaning sometimes you'd hire somebody really, really good. And then, you know, you could hire 5 people and they'd all like either disappear or go away or.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you've ever worked with a virtual assistant from a platform, you just know they just go away. Like, and you can't. As an entrepreneur, if you're listening to this right now, Turnover is the enemy of scale. Like it is like, it's the thing, if you spend 6 months training somebody and then they leave you, it's like a knife. If you're listening right now, you can't see this, but I'm knifing my
chest. But Daniel, though, the thing that, that eliminates it for your client. It doesn't eliminate it for you. Now you're suddenly in the business of having to replace these virtual assistants.
Well, actually what it does is it controlled our inventory. So I'll give you an example. Our folks do an FBI grade background check before they get hired. We send them to a doctor and they do a physical. Like literally, we check to see that their health is perfect before we send them and give them a person. Then we remote into their PC, check the speed. And so what we're doing is we're a custom staffing company that really, really helps businesses double through leverage. Like if you need help, and it's great right now because unemployment's 3%. So we're really busy. But if you need help and you want to scale your business and you know that talent is a thing that's holding you back, we likely can help you.
Why did you take it on at all? You already had a thriving real estate business. Why take on this little side thing for a friend?
You're right. It was a side thing. And it's a funny story. So I'm on my honeymoon, right? And you can probably, I mean, we started this conversation. I'm on my honeymoon. My wife's in the bungalow. We're at a Francis Ford Coppola resort in Guatemala in the trees.
Wow. Okay.
In the trees with monkeys everywhere. It's crazy. And it's 1 a.m. and I'm working at the bar. And it's my third night doing that because my wife's sleeping because we just crawled through like Mayan ruins and did all that honeymoon stuff, you know? And the bartender takes my phone and in Spanish starts making fun of me. Like literally starts making fun of me, takes a picture and says, dumb gringo, and doesn't think I really know, you know,
what it means. And that's who took the photo that I'm looking at here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. And so, and so I'm, you know, after that I thought, man, I want to have a family. I don't want to, you know, lose a marriage. And something's got to change in my business. And this is 2009. So for the next year and a half, I focused like a madman, like a crazy guy, on putting systems and processes in place. And I'm talking about, we documented everything from who cleaned the toilet once a week in the company to...
And is it your real estate company you're systemizing?
The investment company, because we had a real estate investment company, we had a real estate brokerage company, and then we had MyAudits. So we literally wrote SOPs, standard operating procedures, for everything. Like okay. Hundreds of them. And... Okay. The whole point was, number one, I didn't want to work like a crazy guy anymore. I wanted to be able to have kids and be married and all that stuff. But in 2011, the exciting thing for my wife and I is we moved to South America for 6 months. And we just like said, you know, if we're going to live this lifestyle, if we're going to have a virtual assistant company and actually tell people this is possible, we need to be able to, you know, do it. And so for 6 months, we lived in Peru.
And this was part of you saying, let's make sure that we really are systemized enough that I can go to Peru if I want to.
Or I can do anything that I want to. And that's okay. The beauty of being an entrepreneur. And if you're listening, and we talked a little bit about your audience, like if you're building something and you want to be able to have that time freedom and really control your destiny, that's why we all want to own our own business, right? And so, I mean, I live 7 minutes from my office, 3 minutes from my daughter's school. My gym is 5 minutes from my whole world is this little tiny bubble called East Sacramento. Why? Because I can design my life. And that's the plus of being an entrepreneur.
By the way, speaking of the gym, you do look healthier. You do look more fit than you did in that photo.
I just got back from yoga. Like just
did you just before this interview?
Yeah,
and exactly. I hit you with all my high energy. And then were you frosting your hair back then?
No, I'm
that's just natural blonde. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not a froster. No, I'm not.
So this was for all the businesses, you were systemizing the whole thing, but I still want to get back to why did you bother if you had a thriving real estate business? Why'd you bother saying to your friend, yeah, for a little over $100,000, I'll get you virtual assistants and I'll manage them for you. Why take that on?
You know, what's interesting. It provided scale for the organization. So at that time I had 7 virtual assistants in my own real estate business, and adding another 5 people meant that we could afford like a manager in the Philippines. Then we had another 10, and now we were like, oh crap, we can do vacation time now. And then we so that scale, and the real reason was because in my real estate investment company and also in the real estate brokerage company, I really did have an unfair advantage. I mean, I could hire 4 people for the price that my competition had to pay for 1. And that really gave us the ability to prospect way more than everybody else in the market, do a better job at making sure the file was 100% every single time we closed. I mean, it just gave us opportunity that other companies didn't have. And so, but here's what happened, and you'll love this story because we have entrepreneurs who are like this. I have a lot of ADD, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it is. And so a guy says, you want to get me some? I'm like, yeah, sounds great. I'll start another business. And literally that's what happened.
That's it. You know what? I don't know if it's ADD. I feel like you've got that entrepreneurial hustle. As a kid, you told our producer you had these businesses. What's one of the businesses that you had as a kid?
Yeah. You know, I start off, what hooked me in business was it's a dumb story. It's so dumb. I'm in the 7th grade and I buy and sell candy bars. Cause it's like, it's my side hustle, right? I'm able to go to the movies and buy clothes and do whatever I want. Cause I sell Snickers, right? Well, it was a Friday afternoon. I had 1 Snickers left. I hadn't had any Snickers the whole week. I walk on the bus. I'm about to peel this off, and this guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, I want to get a Snickers." And I was like, "Guys, sorry, it's my last one. I don't have any left. You know, next week I'll have more." And he's like, "No, I really want it." And I'm like, "No." And he goes, "I'll give you $5." And I was like, "No." And he pumps a $20 bill into my face.
Uh huh.
And I was like, "Okay." And you know, and I got off the bus and paid 25 cents for another one at the store. You know, I mean, like, that's the world.
That's what got you into business.
Yeah, it just got me hooked. And what I was one of the lucky kids because from that moment on, I always knew I was going to be a business guy. So while everybody else was like, I'm going to go to school and figure it out, I was like, no, I'm going to be a business guy. I'm going to get a business degree. And one day I'm going to own a business.
And so did you have any of these side businesses that didn't go well that in retrospect you think, that was a big mistake? You did. Oh, what's one example of that?
Well, I had I'm a general contractor developer. That was the real estate investment part. And I had a partner in the construction world because, you know, in business and, you know, everybody that's listening that's an aspiring entrepreneur, the one thing is lead generation and lead conversion. Like, that's it. If you can generate the lead and then manage capital, you know, you're going to win. Those are the two major skills that most people don't have. So, I started a construction business and I didn't want to do the work of hammering nails or being in the field or like going to Home Depot and buying supplies. So I partnered with a guy and I split the profits. And, you know, one year we had 24% in profit. The next year it was like 18%. And the next year it was like 12. And I was like, I pull him into my office. I'm like, dude, I'm giving you lots of business because all the business was coming from my real estate world, right? What's going on? And he just breaks down and cries and he's been hooked on pills. So I had no idea and I didn't have enough operational control and I had so many balls in the air that I just wasn't managing that business well. I'm thankful that nobody got hurt, nobody died, you know, we didn't have a major loss or anything. And we ended up just shutting that down and kind of focusing. But, you know, I have ADD. I like business. I love opportunity. So when I see it, you know, the biggest thing that I need to do is say no.
As a guy who has ADD, do you have a hard time with standard operating procedures and documentation and following everything step by step the way you decided 5 months ago made sense?
No. You know what? Because I do it in my style. So you and I are on a video conferencing line, Zoom, yep, Ring Central right now. I would just do this and then record my screen while I was doing the work.
But what about doing it again? That's the setup. And you're right. One of the things I've learned is record it as you do it, talk it through. You give it to someone else who turns it into a document, right?
Yes and no. So if you do 3 to 5 of those, we call it play, pause, do, right? And play, pause, do. So if you do 3 to 5 of them, and then you talk about the how, what, and why that you're doing it, because the thing that people miss is all the industry knowledge or the reason why you're doing something. They'll tell you to do it, but they don't tell you the why behind why you're
doing
it.
Yeah, I do find that when I ask somebody to record a video of what they do, they just tell me the step-by-step and I need to know why so that if things change or if I'm trying to remember it, I'll get it. Okay, so you want them as they're talking, as they're recording to talk through how, what, why they're doing it.
That's right.
Okay.
And so do 3 to 5 videos of the same process covering all of the different eventualities, like all of the different factors that matter, right? And then when you do that, then you give it to your virtual assistant. They turn it into a document.
Okay.
They'll clip the videos and then insert them into the document so that not only do you have now a written out SOP, but you also have a video on top of that. And that has changed our client's life.
Your virtual assistants will do that?
Yeah, in fact, we make that part of their job so they understand why they're doing it. If they can be on the video, that even makes it better. Like, let's say you do 2 videos without them, 2 videos with them, and then they do 2 videos where they do the work and you're reviewing it with them and talking them through it and they're talking it. That's how you actually gain mastery.
Got it. And so, you know what? One of my challenges was I had to create the documentation myself. And what I get into, well, video is tough because if I made a mistake or I have to go back and edit it in the future, it's hard to edit. So I started doing screenshots. Now do screenshots and describe it step by step would take me 2 hours for a project that would maybe do 10 minutes, 15 minutes for me to do it mindlessly. And so what you're saying is, if I hired one of your virtual assistants, I could just record it, explain it the way that you're talking about, hand it to the virtual assistant. It is their job to turn it into a doc with clips of video, with an explanation. Got it.
And then they hand it back to you and you sign off and say, yes, this is exactly
that's it.
Yeah. And then here's another upgrade for folks, especially if you're in that $1 to $5 million range.
Yeah.
The thing that we always think, because look, you and I and your audience, we're entrepreneurs. So not only can we juggle lots of balls, but we know everything about our business.
Yep.
We're hyper motivated because the money goes directly to our pocket. But employees, they're not. They need job security. They want to know that you care about them. They want to understand, you know, their value in the whole wheel and cog thing. So one of our upgrades that we help people do is if you have a written system and process, that's step one. Step two, did you do any training on that written process and system, right?
Okay. So have it written and then make sure that you train the person who's going to be doing it. Okay.
Exactly. And then you can ask if I have the wrong person. So I can't tell you how many conversations we've had where somebody goes, well, they screwed this up. I'm like, okay, let's go back to the documentation. They're like, oh, that's not in the documentation. Or see, it's right there in the documentation. And I said, okay, great. How did you train them? And typically it's always the process or the training that just gets missed.
I highlighted this in my notes too, from your conversation with our producer. What's play, pause, do methodology?
That's what we just talked about. Yeah. It's
play, meaning I do it. That's the play. Me, I'm playing it and having it record. Pause is what?
So yeah, here's the thing. If you make those 3 to 5 videos, right, where you're doing the work and you're talking about the how, what, and why, and then you give them to your virtual assistant, what happens is they can then go do the work, play the video and see you doing it, pause it, and then they can go do that work.
Oh, got it.
They can play it again.
Playing my video, pausing the video, doing the work, coming back. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And if they do that and then you review the work for the first, I don't know. I mean, typically what we tell people is it takes 30 to 60 days to get somebody up to speed where they're adding value. And at 90 days, something happens magically where you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing since sliced bread. But as an entrepreneur, you have to have the stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah.
Is that a word? I don't know.
Yeah, stick-to-itiveness is a word. By the way, so I know you've got a book on this. Googled it. I went to Amazon to get it. I couldn't find the book. I wanted to read it in preparation. Where's the book?
Yeah, we're going to give it away to your audience. And it's the pre. So what's great about this, you guys are going to get a copy of a book that I spent 2 years writing this thing. It's 12 years of this business, over 5,000 clients that we've served. And so you're going to get my heart and soul. We put our heart and soul into this book and it's in final edit. So this is a pre-release version of it.
So wait, I actually got a copy of it. You sent it to me because I couldn't find it online. Yep. The copy that I have has like your markings on it. You're your red pencil, there's too much spacing, there's an issue with this. Is that what you're giving them?
No.
Okay, you're giving them the actual book.
Yeah, I just had one on my desktop when I sent it to you.
Got it, because I asked you for one quickly so that I could see what it is that you wrote. All right, so how do people get this?
All you have to do is text the letters SVP, so it's Scale with Virtual Professionals. We call our people virtual professionals because we're not giving you assistants. We're giving you badass people who actually do great work, right? So it's SVP to the number 31996. So
okay, let me do it. 31996 is the number I'm sending a text message to, and it's, wow, every time I do SVP, I get autocorrect, but SVP to that number.
Yep, to that number.
All right, I'm sending it over right now.
And you're going to get it. And then you're going to fill out something, and then we're going to send it to you in your email.
All right. Okay, good. And you know what? Even though I have it, the reason I'm doing this is to make sure that there's no like shenanigans going on. Obviously, you've got too much to lose. So you're not going to screw around with my audience.
There's shenanigans going on. Yeah, for sure.
So it's the number that we're sending a text message to is 31996. Am I right?
Yep.
And the word is SVP. Okay.
Sam, Victor, Paul.
And so let's come back here into the story. So you started documenting your own process. Let's talk about how you got more customers. The first customer was your friend. Where did the next come from?
You know, it's interesting. I was traveling around in the real estate world, and a bunch of the largest real estate guys in the country. What we're really focused on is the top 10% of the market. So, you know, guys that are doing a million or two in GCI. So they're creating a million or two in revenue. Those are our ideal clients. Mm-hmm. And we help people who are doing, you know, 300,000-400,000, but ideally they're doing a million or two in total revenue. And we would travel around and other people would be like, what are you doing, Ramsey? And I told them about it and they're like, get me two or I'll take three. And eventually, you know, it just turned into a real business.
Just from people who you're working with and networking with anyway, they heard what you were doing on the side and they said, we want one of those too.
Yeah. And honestly, in the beginning, it was really slow. I mean, we didn't really start getting steam until that 2011 or 12 year. And by that time we had a website and we were doing webinars and interviews, and we went to a couple conferences where we got to speak on stage. And then eventually it just kind of blew up. We had to hire a salesperson, then we had to hire somebody in operations, and eventually, you know, we were growing like crazy.
So where's the problem? It seems like everything you did just kind of worked out easily. You were mentioning before that it wasn't this easy.
Yeah, well, nothing is easy. If anybody says it's, you know, I stood in front of this guy who's really famous. You'd know his name. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to. And he goes, oh, I've never lost money in business. And I was like, what? Like, then you're just not really in business, right? You're just not. So we had all this amazing success, all this massive traction, but we hadn't figured out the most important thing. Once you get to a particular size, keeping your client, that all of your clients, is actually almost as important as getting new clients. So we didn't have systems to keep our engagement with our clients, engagement with our virtual professionals, and we had attrition. We had a lot of attrition, actually. And we you know, we learned a lesson in that.
Why did you have attrition? How did you discover the reason, and what was it, and how did you figure it out?
Well, we figured it out because we were losing clients. We would onboard 10 and lose three. And we're like, wait, that's a net seven. Why did we lose those three? And then it was like, in 1 month, literally what happened was 1 month we onboarded like 20 clients and we lost 10. And I was like, okay, something's broken, you know? And I'm like, what's going on? And so then we got specific and we started asking the clients, like, why'd you leave us? And then we asked the virtual assistants, why'd you leave us? And, you know, we got really scary answers. And
what were they?
I love that you're asking all this stuff. You know, I felt like you guys didn't support me after I was placed with the client, or the client was like, yeah, it worked, but you know, the virtual assistant, you know, I don't know, I didn't really have a good connection with them, or their internet speed changed, or something happened with their family, or they missed a day. So there's all these like crazy reasons, and we started compiling them all and keeping track of why we failed and why we succeeded. And then if we failed a client or a virtual assistant, we'd go back into the system and see if there was a way to change it so that that failure would be prevented in the future.
And it was just constantly doing that. Did you start scheduling phone calls with your clients to check in on them?
Oh yeah. And in fact, we completely created a customer service team because of it. Right. And then we have a mod trainer is what we call her now. And she helps train clients. And, you know, we added technology so that we could kind of, yeah. So we added a whole bunch of stuff to fix this, and it's still a battle that we have. But at least, at this stage, I know that it's there and I know what needs to shift, you know, cause when you asked what the failure point was, I just didn't even know it existed. Right. It just all of a sudden one day we lost half of the clients that we onboarded that month. And I was like, wait, what?
Do you ever lose revenue or lose money?
No, you know, one time, you know what, actually it's a great question. And I'm telling you everything, you probably get this all the time, right? Do people just dump on you everything about their business?
Yes, I want that when things are going well, they do.
Yeah. Well, here's what, so one month, we had a payroll shortage. And so I funded it with $50,000 of my own cash.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, why, what's going on? Why aren't we getting the money that we need to pay our virtual assistants? And we had a couple clients who were using our service, but not paying us. And we didn't have a process for that because everybody always paid us before, you know? And so I called these guys. I'm like, hey man, what's going on? We've already paid your people and I had to fund your account by, you know, and so a couple months of doing that. And what we changed is we started forward building. So if a client pays us, we then pay the virtual assistant. If a client doesn't pay us, then a red flag kind of goes up and then we intervene immediately. And we just didn't have that system and process in place, you know?
By the way, if you saw my eyes suddenly go down here to my laptop, it's because I'm constantly doing research on you, everything you're saying. I want to get a sense of it. At some point you said we get calls and I forget what the phrase that you had was, like, first to call, first to something gets
speed to lead.
Speed to lead. Yes. Right. Speed to lead. So I said, let me see where the lead starts from. So I went to Ahrefs, which is our research partner, to see what content is working on your site. And I saw one of the top blog posts is a blog post called Vulcan 7 and your virtual assistant. I don't know what Vulcan 7. Do you know what this is?
Yeah. It's a tech platform.
Okay. It's a tech platform. So I thought, okay, great. What they have is articles like this. That is one of their top producing articles. And on the bottom, there's something that says schedule a free double your business growth strategy session here. So I click that. It leads to a page that's broken.
That's a bummer.
I know, which is one of the cool things, by the way, about like Ahrefs. You get to see what the world values. And then you go back in and you see, well, how am I doing with this? What's going on with it? All right. So I said, all right.
That's good to know. Link broken. We'll fix that.
On that Vulcan 7 thing. So I get, all right, I get that. The rest of it seems to make sense. Do you tend to have an article that leads? Are you typing something out to somebody on the team?
Absolutely.
You are.
Are you kidding me? I'm a boss. I can't. I just typed Vulcan 7 link broken. Fix it.
I always wonder about whether how do entrepreneurs handle it? Is it just, it's just a page, or is it, it's a page. It's broken. We got to fix it. Okay.
You know what? So, here, I want to help you because nothing surprises me anymore. We've had 5,000 employees. I've had people steal from us. I've had people work their butt off so long that, and she started having contractions and she stayed to finish her work for her client and had a baby in the taxi on the way.
Because she had to finish her work before going to the hospital. Okay.
I've had somebody, their whole house is flooding and it's raining outside. And she is found on top of her third story building. There's like a little covering and you can see her on her laptop because she still had internet and she still had power. And she panned over and there's water just going down her street, like as high as cars. So nothing surprises me. You're like, hey, there's a link broken. Okay, we'll fix it. No big deal. and entrepreneurs, what I love about them is they just roll with the punches, man. You know, I can't tell you how much we've fixed and it's still broken and we still grow. We still do it because we're hyper-focused on, you know, serving our clients.
But in an ideal world, if that worked, what would happen is it would trigger a message to a salesperson who would then call immediately.
Yeah, actually we should try it. You should put in
your phone. I'm going to go request a consultation.
Yeah. And actually let me break that down for your audience. This is crazy. My air conditioning broke and it's California, middle of summer, gets 100 degrees where we are. My wife calls four different companies, One company got back to her 48 hours later. The other three have never to this day ever even called her.
Yeah, wow.
And we had a need. And so we had to keep calling companies, you know? And so the reality is what we help companies do is create speed to lead. Somebody registers on your website. Somebody calls your business. Our people answer. They qualify the lead. They make sure they gather the information. Then that lead information gets handed off to the professional who actually can service that call.
So somebody's already checking me out right now?
If you
I just filled it out. I put in my real phone number, my real name, my real everything.
You will get a call.
Somebody is checking me out, but no matter what, they're going to call me.
Dude, I mean.
Don't tell them to go look for me. I see you going down to your phone. Don't tell them.
No. That's your lead.
You saw me. You're just looking to see that I was in there.
Yeah, you're in the system. So we'll just, why we're on here.
Okay, but don't do anything. Let's just see. But
I'm not doing anything. Yeah.
But it's a salesperson who's going to be calling me.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I'll put him on
speaker.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be great.
Okay. All right. So I do. I get that. And then you guys follow. Do you close a sale usually right away? Or what percentage of your sales get closed from that first phone call versus down the road?
Yeah. So our sales team has a 25% close ratio, because when somebody registers and says, I want to talk to somebody about a virtual assistant, we're pretty good at helping them find a virtual assistant. The only, okay. And then, you know, another 10 or 15% gets converted down the road. But on average, as a company, a quarter of our team, you know, converts.
All right. So I saw also, again, on Ahrefs, which most people just call Ahrefs.
What is Ahrefs?
Oh, it lets me see like how you're getting links, from where you're getting links, what keywords you're working on. I could go see what you're...
SEM Rush, right?
I actually don't know the space well enough to know, but it's in the same world. I just don't know well enough to know the difference between the two of them. I'm going to have somebody from their company train me so that I understand this better. But I get to see that one of the things that you guys do is you go to people there are a bunch of articles online now that will list virtual assistant companies. You guys are on all of those. That seems like a big part of your strategy, right? If someone's talking about it, you go there.
Yeah. And actually, it's great that we're talking about that, because that's our second product that we offer. And it's a marketing virtual assistant. So there's this thing called a citation site, which I had no clue about. But Google My Business is an example of a citation site. You know, and so you go in and you actually fill out Google and these other 200 citation sites, and then you have a footprint in the whole internet web thing. So
what do you mean? What's a citation site?
It's like a site. It's almost like an address. So what you're doing by putting your business's information into that address bar is saying, hey, I'm real. I'm a business. I, if you need X, Y, and Z service, you know, you should call us. And
got
so
it.
One of the upgrades that we did, I don't know, like 6-7 years ago, is we just filled out all the citation sites. And then we went to all the blog sites and we started to blog on a regular basis. And then we went...
Oh, wait, excuse me. I'm getting a phone call. Hi, this is Andrew. I'm recording a podcast, but I saw that your call came in.
Yeah, Andrew, this is Henry from My Outdesk virtual assistant company. How are you?
Wow. Hi, Henry. Thanks for calling from My Outdesk.
Yep. Yeah, so I'd like to help set a time for a strategy consultation that you've requested that you fill out online next week, because the rest of the week we're already fully booked, I'm afraid.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Can we talk next Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific?
Let me go ahead and see if the time is open. Okay. Just give me 1 second, Andrew.
Okay. And by the way, I'm still recording the podcast, but I'm glad that you jumped in.
Oh, is it a good time to talk, or I can give you a call back?
If we can book that time, let's do it now. If not, we can talk later.
Sure. Give me 1 second. Let me just Pacific time.
I put him on mute. Daniel is, for people who are listening to the podcast, Daniel is smiling. He's like, got the proud papa. You deserve it. It worked. Well,
you know, here's the thing is, what was that? Like 3 minutes, 2 minutes?
Correct.
10, can we do 10:30 Pacific time?
10:30. Yep. That's open.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and set that up, and I can go ahead and assign this to one of our senior consultants.
Okay.
His name is Chuck Moray.
Whoa.
I just need a few minutes or...
Okay.
Do you want me to give you a call? I just have a few questions to ask so that the consultant is prepared and can align the discussion specific to.
Can we talk in 15? Can we talk in actually 30 minutes? At 30 minutes, I'd be.
30 minutes?
Yes.
All right. I'll give you a call back in 30.
Wow. Thank you. Thanks, Henry. All right. Bye.
Okay, no problem. Bye.
Wow. Look at that.
Dude, I like
it. Look at
that. Well, and that's, and what's wild is that's a, so first of all, you know, if you would have gone to voicemail, you would have gotten a text, then you would have gotten an email, and then you would have gotten like a bazillion calls over the next 3 weeks until you answer.
From the same number, so that I at least get a text first to let me know, hey, expect it, here's what, got it.
Right, and an email saying, hey, this is Henry, you registered for a consultation, we really, really would like to get you into that. And you know, for your audience too, we struggled for a long, long time to know exactly what to call our consultations. And I think this is a place that every entrepreneur kind of goes through is as you reinvent your business. You know, businesses go up and then they flatline and then they go up and they flatline. No growth is straight, right? And that's what, anybody that says that, they're just not real business people, right? So what we've done is we call it a double my business strategy call. And we have a senior consultant who actually goes through a process where we figure out what's the 1, 2, 3 things that you need to do right now in order for your business to double.
Okay.
And then who's on your team? What are the systems and processes? Like, do you have RingCentral? Do you have some sort of a CRM? What's your product and what's your service? And what the question, one of my favorite questions is, Andrew, if I could take 40 or 50% of your day and give it back to you, what would you do with it?
Oh, I would create new things. I feel like we're too busy doing the same thing.
Yeah. So, and that's exactly what we would start breaking down what the same thing looks like. Right. And we would find out if we could create a system and process and hire a person to take that over. And it would take you 2 or 3 months to get it nailed, but then you could get 40 or 50% of your day back.
And so what he wanted to do with me before I talked to the salesperson was understand what I was doing. And then how does that inform the next conversation?
Well, you know, so what we're doing is, first of all, we want to find out what kind of a business you have and what prompted you to register and what your need is, right? So he's going to call back and like, hey, who's on your team? You know, tell me about your business. What are some of the needs you think you might have? Mm-hmm. That way, the senior consultants, what we do is we'll just line them up. You know, they have 5 or 6 hour long conversations every single day. And their job is just to help people through what it looks like to hire a virtual assistant.
And the reason that I can't talk to that person right now is because you don't want that person's
deflected.
Not even a minute of their day to be wasted.
No, because they've got to close 1 out of 4 people or they can't stay on the team.
Wow. Got it. And if they're just sitting around waiting to take a call from me, they're wasting their time.
Right.
Meanwhile, Henry can figure out maybe Andrew's not a good fit for this. Maybe Andrew doesn't have a business yet. Maybe he's just curious. Maybe he's just a podcaster who's testing our system. Got it.
Oh, you better believe what's happening right now is he's Googling you and then pulling up your podcast and pulling up your LinkedIn.
Really?
Oh, for sure.
This is part of your process.
Yeah.
Is he going through a checklist or is it in the CRM and Salesforce? What's he doing?
It's all in the CRM.
So the CRM has... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I'm curious about you. You're about to tell me. I don't want to interrupt it.
So the CRM has, did we set an appointment? He set an appointment, but now there's a whole host of information. Like, what are your biggest challenges? If you needed a double, what would you have to do? What's your CRM? Who's on your team? And so he doesn't have any of the information right now. So he's going to go and look you up and try to figure out what the heck you need help with.
Got it.
So that when you guys talk in 30 minutes, it's, you know, it's going to be a more productive call.
Wow, this is amazing. You got to be proud of this business, aren't you? You are. I could see it.
I am. Yeah. What I love is, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about the results that we get for clients. Like, I can't tell you, we have helped people grow and scale. And there's one client in particular that we've been in business with since the very beginning. And I mean, this guy, he's got over 100 people on his team now, and it's insane.
On his MyOutDesk team?
No, on his MyOutDesk team, I think it's a, what do we got? We got 17 people from MyOutDesk, but we've been through his whole scale journey. We've walked the whole path with him and supported his business. And it's just fun to see the impact that we've had. In fact, our clients last year told us that we've saved them $55 million compared to what it would cost them to hire locally.
Do you guys also hire, like, can I hire a salesperson like the ones that you guys have?
Like Henry?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I guess he's an SDR, right? And so I could hire an SDR through you.
Yeah, exactly. A salesperson, no. In fact, what we found is it's 1 in 100 folks have the capacity for that role. And they have to have some deep industry knowledge, you know, but we tried it. I'll be honest. I mean, I tried really hard to make that happen.
But are you guys just focused on real estate or you've gone beyond?
No. So we serve the professional employment organizations like PEOs. So HR and outsourcing and staffing companies. We serve IT companies. We serve a lot of healthcare companies. Mm-hmm. One of our shining stars this year is a company called Brightstar. And I think we have like 60 folks with that organization. So yeah, here's the thing. Business, like we said, it's not difficult. It's not complicated. It's easy. What we do is marketing, sales, and administrative support. So those are the three areas that we help people grow.
Let me close it out with this. One of the things that you talked to our producer about as being a challenge for you was leadership. What's the challenge and what'd you learn about leading people?
Oh my goodness. do we have time for another podcast? here's the thing. Our culture is defined by growth. You know, one of my favorite things is I'm a consistent developer. And the more you learn about your leadership style, and then you look back at who you were 3, 5, 10 years ago, you go, holy crap, man, what was I thinking? Right. And so, you know, I've lost some really great people because I needed to be developed as a leader. Specifically, I remember I had unrealistic expectations for a marketing manager. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And so I put these unrealistic expectations, and she also accepted these unrealistic expectations because she also didn't know that that wasn't realistic. And so we had challenge together because I didn't know what I was doing. She didn't know that what my expectations were off.
Yeah.
And so I lost a really great culture fit, a strategist. And I can tell you, her name was Heather. And if she was here today, she'd still be kicking butt for our company. And now I know it was me, not her.
How do you know what realistic expectations are to set for people? I've had situations like that too, where I hire someone expecting them to do this amazing stuff. And they say, yeah, I'm here to do it. And you're probably going to support me, right, Andrew? Because that's what this role entails. Well, no, I thought you're going to do it. How do you now fix that?
You know, it's good. So there's two tracks, Andrew, that I believe work. One is you don't hire somebody who think they can do it. You verify that they have done it and you without a doubt prove that they can do this. So the entrepreneur in us thinks because we can do anything, so can our employees. And that's just not the truth, right? So hiring somebody with expertise is the best way to do it. But let's be real. Those folks are really expensive because they know their worth, right? So you know, that gal, she was a $70,000 a year person. And I didn't know what I was buying for $70,000 because I'd never done it before, right?
Right.
So, you know, number one, it's either you hire somebody with expertise and you vet the crap that they know exactly what they're doing and that they can do it for you. And then the second thing is you've done it before. So you've done it, been there.
So either you've done it before or they've done it before, but you're not just making up something brand new and hiring somebody brand new to do it.
Exactly. Or planting a flag out in the future and saying, we're going to do this. And then trying to figure out how to do it later, which is a key. That's what we do as entrepreneurs.
Now my attention's back on your book. The book is called Scale with Virtual Professionals. And in the acknowledgement section, you acknowledge your wife. And I'm looking down here and I see a photo, a beautiful photo of you, your wife, and your two kids. I don't know what beach you're on, but you guys look like you're happy. And you've got your logo and the banner for your company and the whole family's holding it up. So you're not working the way you were on vacation, you know, sitting there at your desk with a candle in that photo that you sent me. But boy, you're still working with your family. You're still doing it all. And you're not feeling, are you feeling burned out on this? Like, I can't even go on vacation without holding a banner with my family for a photo? No.
You know, so in that time frame, we were doing a whole push for the company, like extend the movement. That was last year. We started a nonprofit. So we built an orphanage. We built an old folks home. We sent a bunch of high schoolers in Texas to a camp. I think I just donated money to a cancer survivor fund. My father passed away from cancer. So we started a nonprofit and we take a portion of our profits and actually do stuff in the community to make impact. I'm really excited because this year will be my first year to ever do six figures of charity.
Wow.
Which is a big deal. I've been toying below that for a long, long time. And so in that picture, we were as a family, you know, extend the movement, you know, and kind of just branding our company and our new charity.
Ah, that's what the hashtag extend the movement means on that banner. I now zoomed in and I saw it.
Yep. It's the mod movement. And, we're excited because our virtual assistants, they provide time, energy, and love. Our clients provide money. And then we measure by how many lives we've impacted, how much money we've spent. And 100% of our money actually goes to serve the community. So.
All right. You got to give out that crazy phone number again. Cause I never remember that stuff. Why don't you just do like the myoutdesk.com/book. Why are you using the phone number?
The phone number, you know how I came to this? And if you're listening right now and you're an entrepreneur, Joe Biden on the presidential debate.
The presidential candidate. Wait, from the debate. Okay.
So from the debate, Joe goes, and if you'd like my entire plan about how I'd run the company or the country, just go ahead and text Joe to 31996. And so if you want Joe Biden's plan to run the country or my book.
use the same number.
I think it is the exact same number. And that's when I knew it was a brilliant strategy because everybody texts, everybody wants instant right now, and nobody wants to go to a website and fill out a form. And it's just easier on your phone. So
no, actually, you know what? It's not we should tell people not to text Joe. Joe goes to a different, it's gotta be something else. Joe goes to Joe Gallo, chief commercial officer for a company called Smart One Suite.
Don't text Joe.
Don't text Joe. Number. That's a different guy. Just text, go to this number. Just get out your phone. Go to, text this number, 31996, text SVP and you'll get it. And I'm glad to have you on here. Thanks, Daniel.
It's been a pleasure, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank the company that now both Daniel and I are customers of, Ring Central. All right. Let me see. Actually, they gave me like, these guys, by the way, are super organized. I've asked sponsors in the past, if you want to be on, please send me information so that I am prepared to talk about you. Get on a call with me so I'm prepared to talk about you. And they all say, yeah, we should. Actually, Andrew, you're a professional. We trust you. Go do it. These guys said, Andrew, we're going to get on a call with you. We're going to make sure that you have an understanding of all the features. We're going to have you tell us what you think our audience is going to like. And we're going to give you talking points. I got the talking points. The one thing they asked me on the talking points and I'm making sure to really say is, you people, if you're listening to me, you don't have to pay a penny until 2020. And they asked me to also spell out their name. So it's R-I-N-G, Ring Central, ringcentral.com/Mixergy to get that deal and to get started with them. Daniel, thanks so much for being on here.
Thanks for having me, bud.
And for doing my ad with me. Thanks. Bye, everyone. All right. Your recording came out perfectly. We don't need your backup copy. Thank you for doing it. Dude, you freaking kick ass.
Do I?
I don't know if I should say kick ass with you. I heard you with like a guy who was a pastor, and I feel like maybe I shouldn't be cursing around you.
No, you're good. And you're in San Francisco, is that right?
I am, yeah.
Okay, cool, man. I didn't. Now we're buds.
Yeah.
How could we work together?
I don't know. I've been really fascinated by your business. I wonder, I kind of wish that we would have given a URL for people to go and sign up if they're interested, just to see, is there overlap? Recording. Do our people need it? Sorry?
We're still recording. Let's do it, man. If you go to myoutdesk.com and you mention Andrew's name, we'll give you $500 off for, hiring a virtual assistant just because it's you, man.
All right. You know what? It is in my, and I'm getting no commission off of it. And we are still recording, I guess, on your computer. So we'll use your computer's recording from it and my backup computer. So instead of the main computer, we'll at least have it. And so what it is, go to my virtual.
Nope.
Wait.
My outdesk.
Why am I saying my outdesk? Myoutdesk.com and just at some point mention Andrew or Mixergy and they'll get $500 off and just let me know. I'm curious about how people respond to this. I don't want the commission. I just want the knowledge to see, is there overlap? Is there something we could do?
Yeah, perfect. And, cool. And guys, what when you go, here's what I want you to hear. Bring your org chart, bring your systems, and get ready to think about this one question. The only one question that matters for an entrepreneur is, if I had to double my business today, what would I need to start doing, or who would I have to have on my team? You know, when you think about a billionaire, like the guy buys a sports franchise, he doesn't say, how am I going to manage this team? He goes, who do I need to hire so I can win the World Series? Mm-hmm. And that's how entrepreneurs, that's a shift in thinking that I wish I would have had when I first started.
All right. It is included in there, myoutdesk.com. And now I do need your file, your recording of this interview, because I didn't record it on my main computer. All right. Cool. Sweet. Thanks a lot.
All right, brother. Talk soon.